Hello.
Hello.
I'm pretty nervous tonight, but it's a good nervous. I'm so grateful to be here tonight, and I have a fellow traveler here. He's a really dear friend of mine who kind of got me into ACA. He was also in other programs together. I hope I'm allowed to say that, because I've already said it. And I won't mention his name. He's here tonight on my left, but he probably would be too embarrassed. He's been a really dear friend, and we, our journey's been wonderful, and so that's my gratitude to my friend Paul. Thank you. Wow. When I was about, I was a child, I had a nightmare. I remember sitting up at the top of the stairs, and I remember even the kind of pajamas I was wearing, and I had this dream about a nightmare that this spider had burrowed into my belly, that's all I can really say. And for many years, I kind of carried this dream as an expression of my sadness and my sorrow and other dark emotions, feelings and thoughts and memories. Now I see the burrowing of the spider as a kind of my deepening of my ability to know things, both light and dark. And from this awareness has come greater and greater depth of experience. From this core, my language of music has been born, my language of kind of my consciousness and my awareness, because that's what music is to me. From this honest and true revelation has emerged my breath, an expression of my inner child. Tai Chi and movement are kind of what I teach, and has become my dimension, another dimension, like my music. As I've been in allowance of this, I'm just beginning to see joy as the dynamic core of my being. Through other 12-step programs, Access Consciousness, and now ACA, I'm honored to continue to live with more joy and serenity. The darkness seems to be to serve as a path to greater joy. And that's just, I wrote this last night, and I don't usually like to read what I write, but that seemed appropriate. I'm going to start tonight with a piece of music. I'm not sure what it's going to be exactly. But I'm going to start with, since I'm a little nervous, I'll use some humor. So I just wanted to know, does anybody in here not like country music? And then my next question would be, what country? I don't remember jokes at all, so I usually remember the punchline or the joke, and I forget the punchline. So I hope the humor is both really, it is genuine, but it's also because I'm a little nervous. So I guess I'll play this so it can be on the mic and everything. But I'm going to start with a piece of music, because music has been the one thing that has kept my inner child and or me, you know, however I want to look at it, alive. And most of the time I love playing music. I'm really honored to work at Cottage Hospital now, and I work with patients who have psychiatric diagnoses, whatever that is. I don't look at their charts at all, or chemical dependence, so I feel like I'm doing my recovery there. And when I play my music or do Tai Chi, it comes really easily, and I seem to be able to reach people, so I'm really grateful that everything I've experienced got me to here. I don't quite get that yet, but it's some kind of revelation, you know. So thank you all very much for being here. I know I'll speak a language which we all get, kind of, because this is one of the few places, even though I played everywhere, I recorded, and I'm not bragging, this is my gratitude. This is one of the places I can really, truly be who I am, kind of like my work at Cottage. And if I wasn't supposed to reveal that, then you can tell me later, I guess. So this is a viola. Does anybody know the difference between a violin and a viola? Violin's a little smaller. So what do you think the difference is? Is that?
It's a little bigger.
The viola will burn longer. So I'm just going to, there's a piece of music I've kind of learned, and so I'm just going to improvise this piece to kind of begin kind of where I am right now, maybe better expressive than in words. So. Thank you. Sometimes it's easier for me to express things without words, and sometimes it's really better than it's a word. So, if anyhow you read books, I'm gonna do this reading. It's page 438, 439 in the big book. If you want to read it, or you can just listen. Self-love, as we know it, offers more than just mere self-esteem. There is much more. There is self-love that is expressed in unconditional love. In this realm, self-love illuminates our perceptions, and we view ourselves and others in a new dimension. We realize that everyone has a heartbeat. If God, as we understand God, created the concept of self-love, it must have been done for the hurting children. We are God children, and that means everybody. And I was really learning that when Teresa was talking about her father, you know, like, could she look at him and actually see him? Or could first she could see herself or her father as a child of God or a child of spirit, whatever that is for you. So for me, like, step one is, you know, I've been in recovery since, it's about 2005 or 6. I was in another program, and I used to go to both NA and AA. And it taught me a lot. I still had trouble with the powerless thing. But last Saturday we had a workshop on the steps. I learned a lot of stuff. I guess you're not supposed to say that word, F-U-C-K, which I think really to me meant like to plow a field, right? So it kind of does make sense. But I forgot my trend here. One of my friends said to me one time, everything that I've done and experienced and am got me to where I am today. So I'm not quite there yet, but that person has really been a model, or not a model, but an inspiration for me. And so step one, last week, I got to present step one, two, and what I learned from it was more from like the people who came up to me and talked to me about what it was for them. And I think I have an ability now to look at powerlessness, and for me it's like I'm powerless over my upbringing. Still don't quite accept that, but I'm willing to. I can kind of get that from. And the other, one of my fellow travelers shared with me, we did In my presentation, I did some breathing stuff, so I practice that now. Kind of like meditation, and she came up and talked to me. She talked about integration, which I'm still working on that one, but I think it means kind of like being honest about it and looking at that I'm this whole person, and maybe I'm okay the way I am. Maybe I have to make no judgments. One of the other programs I was in that led me back to ACA was a program called Access Consciousness. And one of the things about it was, I just forgot what I was going to say. instead of looking at the secondary addictions, which can be drugs or alcohol, which for me, that's just for me, I look at my primary addiction, which for me is my judgment of myself, finding the wrongness in myself. And I'm not a psychotherapist, I'm not a psychologist, but I've presented that a lot at where I work, and never heard anybody say, that's not me. So I'm not saying that, we should not go to AA or NA or any program that helps us, whether it's 12-step or not, but I think, for me, it's like I got to go to where the roots are, and the roots for me are finding the wrongness in myself. I can just kind of see myself as I'm doing this kind of like, I can see the judge going on, going, oh, shit, you shouldn't have said that. You could have said this. You could have said that. You could have played that different. The one area where I'm beginning not to judge myself at all is when I play. And my inner child to me is my expression of God. He expresses himself through my inner child. I haven't kind of gotten to the parent thing yet, but I have a fellow traveler who is also here tonight, and we got to play at a Brazilian Arts Cafe a week ago, and we just had to kind of pull it together and play, and it went beautifully, and it was such a great thing to be able to stand up and play like that, and just played standards and Brazilian stuff, and I want to thank him also for bringing that to me. It's Larry D. Larry D. Sorry. Larry D. Without the UFF. Okay. So, but I just want to, gratitude is a big deal for me. So I guess step one would be I'm powerless over my upbringing. And then step two for me is I know God can guide me to greater clarity. And step three I'm working on now, and it's kind of, for me, it's learning to surrender to the innate wisdom of my inner child as my expression of God. Perhaps it is learning to surrender to me as God. And I know we all know this one. Be still and know that I am God. That's a big one for me. I know that when I don't really surrender to what I truly know and acknowledge my lack of awareness and control, my powerlessness over my upbringing, my life is unmanageable. And that kind of leads me, that's, I guess, like an addiction to the habits or effects of my upbringing. And then if I, like from steps one and two and three, I'm beginning to look at something that I learned from one of my sponsors in the other program. And he kept talking about spiritual principles. That means a lot to me. I don't always get them as they are in the 12-step program, but I find other ways of expressing them. Like from Tony, I learned, Tony 8, he used the word clarity instead of sanity in step two. It's just a semantic thing, it's just for me, that kind of makes sense. But for me, my spiritual principles so far that I'm working on, at least as of tonight, are surrender. I need to surrender to me, to the things I know. And that's kind of the closest I can get to God, because if I don't look at it within myself, it's still external. It's just for me. That's how I need to frame it. And then clarity and awareness. One of my former sponsors used to say, don't fall asleep in the driver's seat. Always be vigilant. And I was going, all the time? And now I really know what he means, because I feel like all this shit that I'm learning, whether it's journaling or presenting the steps or speaking here tonight, or it's like sometimes so much. But I guess the question is, would I go back? No. And then the most important thing, I think, for me of the spiritual principles is gratitude. And that means being an allowance to who I really am and truly be the things I know and have right now. And I think being able to look, be praying, and looking at what really is working in my life is evidence of God. And I like to study things and look at things and be very inquisitive. And for a while there, I went through a period where I was looking at the whole atheist movement, which is really popular. I think it's called the New Atheism, and Richard Dawkins and Charles Kristen Hutchins. And I realized they have a message for me, which is I'm an expression of God, and whether their dialogue is about it, that's okay. But we all are expressions of God, and we all can make a difference. And we don't necessarily need to look at change. I mean, there's a lot of ways of looking at that. But I'm okay the way I am. I'm still learning that. So I'm going to read now from, it's a big book, and it's something I found months ago, and I love it. It's in the introduction if you want to read it with me. It's 24 and 25. Listen to your inner child, not with fear, but with openness. Love this child for all she or he has had to defend against. Know that feelings are to be listened to. They are cues and signals that indicate where you are and what you need. Mistakes are a sign of growing. Remember, be gentle and be gentle with yourself. Success is not relative to others. It is a feeling of love and accomplishment for ourselves. Recovery is accepting yourself for who you are, no longer waiting for others to define you or approve of you. It is safe to take time to play today. Play fuels your creativity, tickles your inner child, and nurtures your soul. May you respond with the vulnerability of your child, but with the strength of an adult. Surround yourself with people who respect and treat you well. In faith, one finds the strength to survive times of great fear and sadness. That's pretty much all I would probably say right now. Some of the tools I use, I guess I would like to share. All of us probably can relate to this. Do any of you pick up on other people's feelings? And I don't think you can call that psychically or psychologically, whatever that is. And why do we do that? I mean, it's a kind of question. So whenever I find myself doing that, I ask myself these questions. I say, first, does it belong to me? And then I go, is it mine? Which is kind of the same thing, I guess. And then I go, what is it? What can I do with it? Can I change it? And how can I change it? And these are just questions. I like living in the question. Because like breathing, when I live in the question, it just opens up a lot of space. And I need a lot of space. I've been a professional musician since I was 10. And I'm getting tired of working like that and looking at things that way. I learned a lot from my parents. My mother gave me the gift of being my mentor. She was an amazing violist. She was principal viola here in Santa Barbara of the Santa Barbara Symphony for almost 50 years. And she gave me the gift, or helped me access the gift. And she gave me her mother, who was the person, her name was Elsa, A-Y-L-S-A. And she gave me the appreciative, God is nature. You could pray all day, meaning you could just be and question and meditate on the things that are going on in the moment. And so my mother gave me her mother as more of a parent kind of thing. And Elsa just opened up the world to me. She talked about Thailand or Siam when I was a kid, and I ended up living there for a year. She taught me about animals. And when I studied Native American medicine, it was called when I studied, all the animals on what we call a shield were the ones that she introduced me to. So she was kind of my mother. My mother was more my mentor. My father played the martyr. He was a Catholic. My mother was Jewish. My mother said she converted to Catholicism, but I don't think she converted anything. She was always a free thinker, and even when she got Alzheimer's, she was feisty and was herself. And sometimes that would run over my feelings, but, you know, I I'm beginning to see that's what her gift to me was, and that's something I have for the rest of my life, my music, my intelligence, my creativity. But my dad gave me a sense of the world, a sense of compassion and softness, and he would give me a kiss on the cheek. He said, it's okay. And he was really much, very much a man's man. He started the Santa Barbara Boxing Club here in Santa Barbara. He had a horrible upbringing. When I did the family tree, I was like, holy shit, there's only one person in my family that I can look back on, and that was my mother's mother, who was healthy. He never told me this, but he shared this with my mother. He would hear his father raping his daughters, the two. And, you know, I've been hard on women. I've never hit a woman. I've never beat a woman. I never will. But I don't get that one. So my father gave me the gift of knowing you don't do that kind of thing. And I don't mean like right or wrong. It's just like even more than that. But I chose a marriage that my last marriage was, I chose a woman who had probably been molested and by the husband that she married. And it was her other daughter. He adopted her. And then the half-brother and sister of the father who molested this young woman. So I took that on, you know. Why not? I mean, this is how I was raised. I couldn't stay in the marriage, and it wasn't, there's no blame. I just couldn't take that on, but I thought I could. But I can't rescue people. I can be compassionate, and sometimes I don't see the difference. But I know my core is basically a pretty loving, caring, generous, generative, kind person. And that's what I just became aware of that like a week or so ago. So, going on a tangent, but that's what I'm doing, so that's what I have to realize that. But I know that the core of my being is a joyful one. And sometimes darkness can lead to joy. Kind of the burrowing spider again showed me that it, and I don't get it, and I don't want to analyze it too much. I know it allowed me to deepen my ability to feel and know. So whatever it is or was, it may be, I'm willing to go for the ride as long as I know my core is joy, generosity, creativity, and love, and caring, and non-judgment. So I think right now I'm just going to, before I play again, what's my time thing going on?
Perfect.
Perfect. That's a word, huh? Again, it's such an honor to be standing here, and to look, all of you, all of us have these stories. Our narrative is who we are, you know. And there's a thing in the Bible, and I'm kind of a Christian, but I mean, like, they wouldn't probably want me in most churches. Maybe this way, but you know, because I just, you know, I think we got to look at what God says, not what the church says. And I forgot what. Oh, it's from a Old Testament called Isaiah, and it says, forget the former things, dwell not on the past, for I am creating a new thing. This is my paraphrase. Are you willing to receive and know it? For I am creating paths in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I just love that one. So again, I'm so grateful to be here tonight. Let it come out then, I guess, huh? And I just want to thank the people who I've had the connection, I mean, had the privilege of connecting to. And, you know, there's a great thing I want to read in here. I just want to, it's from that, about all this stuff we're trying to talk about. Now I can find it here. Recovery is about connection, first with ourselves and then with others, you know. So for those who have been a personal part of my getting here, I'm so grateful. And for those that I still have to learn from and become connected with, I'm so grateful for that. So, I don't know why I still want to say this. If anybody has any questions or want to share anything that I've touched tonight, I know this is not part of the journal format, but neither am I. So, anybody? And again, it's when I ask, it's like when I say when I have my groups, it's an invitation, not an expectation. time will buy it for people to say yes or no? Because usually my line is, if people don't answer, they go, one at a time, please. Those are all my jokes. You know. So I just want to express my gratitude to those of you I personally connected with. And I know that's what eternity is about. I worked a lot with Alzheimer's patients, 15 years as a health practitioner. And what I learned from them was how to be in the moment. And their insights are just amazing. So I'm going to play a piece of music to kind of end, and then I'm going to close with the Serenity Prayer. Okay. Thank you. So this is a piece that came to me in the Amazon rainforest. I did a ceremony, and I didn't write it, and I'm not improvising. I'm like the gardener for this piece. It's called Song of Ayahuasca.